On Tuesday, August 8th, 3 years ago, one of the worst disasters in modern U.S. history took place, and then it just disappeared from the headlines. Who's really talking about it anymore? I'm talking about, of course, the Maui Lahaina wildfires. At least 102 lives lost, more than 2,200 structures destroyed, damage estimates in the billions, forever changing that island. But now we're 3 years later, and this is the question we're asking today. What the hell happened to Maui? Joining us now is best-selling author Michelle Melendez, who's written the book Great Maui Land Grab. We'll have it linked up for you to read it. And she's done exhaustive journalism over these past few years when other individuals have completely forgotten about this story, and she's still asking questions, and she has some new revelations today. Michelle, thank you for joining us. Really appreciate you being here.
Oh, mahalo so much for having me, and mahalo for keeping this story alive, because, you know, the subtitle of my book is What Caused the Maui Fire and Is Your Home Next? And look at Spokane. So mahalo again for having me.
Right. I mean, interesting, right? I mean, are you seeing, so we're seeing right now, we actually were about to interview a guest earlier today on the show, or yesterday on the show, and that guest lost power and couldn't join us as a result of the fires and what they were dealing with up there. So do you see any similarities to what we're seeing right now in Spokane?
Yeah, absolutely. First, the heat. The heat's really intense. That's not a normal fire. The wind being so fast. I mean, I'm looking at some of the pictures, and I'm seeing the car's rims melted. I've sent your guy some pictures of old fires, because I looked up old fires. I was like, let me look at the 80s and 90s pictures of fires that we used to have. I think Oakland Hills shows that, you know, the cars aren't melting like they weren't melting back in the day when we had these other fires. And I believe that the reason why it's so hot is because of chemtrails, is because of the things that they're spraying. And that's making the heat of the fires more intense. It's melting the engine block. Like, if you can show the picture of the car, that's the engine block is melted out and the palm trees are still there. That is really telling right there. When you have an engine block completely gone, the rims are melted out, the house is disintegrated into white ash, and the palm trees are still there. That's, you know, if a palm tree put in a fire, it lights up like a firecracker. And but these older images, I you can show one of the ones, I think it's Oakland Hills, of a car that's completely intact. The engine is still there, and it's not melted the way that are disintegrated like these new fires. It's very hot. It's very sad.
Yeah, I mean, well, the chemtrails and whatever kind of aluminum that's being sprayed into the air, and having this weird reaction with the plant life as well, and then of course the soil content. A lot has changed, it seems, since the 1980s. Far more sophisticated. So we'll get into that, directed energy weapons and all those other pieces of this story. But it's hard to believe 3 years. So I guess maybe we'll start there. It's been 3 years. Where do things stand now?
A whole lot. I mean, there's 2,200 buildings that were destroyed. 25% of the homes have been given permits and being able to rebuild. So we have 562 buildings that have permits issued. There's been 246 buildings completed, 339 residential permits still in process after 3 years. After 3 years, there's still buildings, homes that are in process of trying to get a permit. There's 1,300 buildings that have no permit, nothing's going on. So I think that the owners have probably been deceased. And the businesses, there's 13 businesses that have been rebuilt. There's 190, almost 200 businesses still in process trying to get a permit. Almost 200 businesses. So, you know, let me just give you a comparison. In there was 1991 Hurricane Iniki on the island of Kauai. They had a big, huge hurricane, took out a bunch of homes. Within a month, like, they were starting to rebuild almost immediately. And within the first year, almost all the houses were rebuilt after Hurricane Iniki. They had emergency permitting issues, but not Lahaina, not Lahaina. There's still almost 200 businesses are waiting for a permit, and over 339 permits, again, still in process for homes. You know, these, and the sad thing is that if these permits, if they do get a permit and it expires for whatever reason, they need to reapply for the permit. I mean, they're really making it hard for these people to rebuild their homes.
It's unbelievable that it's taken this long. I mean, we talked about before, like the big fire in Boulder, Colorado, just a short time ago, other wildfires, almost the town's completely rebuilt. After it. But for whatever reason, whether it's a land grab or not, I mean, I guess that's at the heart of it here. So maybe we can dive more deeply into that part of the story here, this idea that this is a land grab. Is there any other way to look at it, or are we just, is it just a coincidence that these things are taking so long?
No, it's not. Absolutely not. It is absolutely a land grab. This is even, you know, I interviewed Ellie Cochran, our state representative, who grew up in Lahaina. She survived the Lahaina fire. She was actually the one that actually the Maui fire chief was off island. Many people were off island the day of that fire. And she called him and said, should we evacuate? And he goes, why? And she goes, there's a fire in Lahaina. So the Maui fire chief wasn't even contacted by his department. The state representative who was living in Lahaina had to contact him, and he said, let me call you back. And he calls her back a couple minutes later and says, yes, evacuate. What's happening now with the fire survivor camps, this is really sad, but the suicide rate went up 183% the month after the fire. 183%. That was never in the media. There have been deaths in the fire camps that they don't know about. They don't know why they happened. There was actually, this is really sad, but there was a body that was decomposing in the camp, and they went in and found the person. They don't know why they died. There was no investigation. There was a 16-year-old boy who died in his sleep. There was a man who died of natural causes, a heart attack or a stroke. There was another person that died again. No investigation. And Ellie Cochran, again, state representative, called the Maui police chief, we all know him, John Pelletier, and said, who's investigating these deaths? And his response when she asked him that question, who's investigating? He said, nothing nefarious is happening in the fire camps. That was his response, and that wasn't even her question. So obviously something's going on. And then the last thing I'll share is that this is third-party information, but we do somebody who goes in and does helps people to move out. So in FEMA has a certain amount of time for the temporary housing, and then they have to move the person out. Well, there's somebody who goes in to help the person move out, make sure that all their stuff is out. He has told Ellie Cochran and some other people that he was going in finding people who suicide themselves, hanging, or there was a guy who used a gun on himself 2 weeks ago. And that's not in the media. That's not being shared.
So can you describe these camps? Why are they still, are they like tents? Are they temporary FEMA structures like you see in West Virginia after a massive flood? Who's providing them? And why are they not able to rebuild their homes on these camps?
That's such a good question, Clayton. So there's two different camps. One is you can look up Birdhouse. I put the title Birdhouse. There's these birdhouse that were provided by FEMA. These birdhouses kind of structures, looks like that. And then there was also these fishbowl module homes. These cost $400,000 a piece right here. That's a $400,000 structure. They could have given that money to the Lahaina fire survivor to allow them to rebuild their home. But the amount of money that has been spent, $4 billion was given from the federal government to Maui County. And where's the money? money. Like, they're still trying to work on infrastructure. They're still working on putting in plumbing and water and redoing all that. That should have been done a long time ago. And people should have been getting this money, but they really haven't. They're, Ellie Cochran is asking for an audit, and that's not being done with for the funds, for that $4 billion funds. But there's another thing that's happening with the Hawaii homeless and housing system, a support system that it was a department that was put in by the Hawaii governor. And this department, there's been so much money that has been funneled through the Hawaii homeless and housing department that there was an audit that was being done, and it was supposed to have been finished this last January, but it was not finished. And that department asked for $41 million to the legislative body, even though their audit hadn't been completed. And the auditor actually said he's been finding misuse of funds. And the Hawaii legislative body passed and allowed them to have $41 million more. So it's like, where's the money? We just don't know.
$4 billion from the federal government.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Think about what could be done with that money for infrastructure and to rebuild these homes, or at least assist in the rebuilding of these homes. So these like fishbowl structures and these other FEMA housing, it kind of look permanent. Like, do you get the sense that these things are going to be sitting there permanently?
You know, they have a certain amount of time. I know FEMA has a certain amount of time for the temporary housing, and that's coming up. I think they might have another year or two. I'm not sure. Huh. But then they have to be moved out. So you're absolutely right, though. And then check this one out. There was a teacher's area, like module homes that were made for teachers, that was put up in 10 months. In 10 months, they had structures, and this was behind the school, I believe, Lahaina Luna School District. I believe it was behind the school. And they actually put these up in 10 months, and they're not allowing people who are not teachers to move in, and not all of these homes that I've been told that not all these modules are even in use. And then the FEMA guy who goes in, helps people move out, this is third party information, but he has told some people that I know that he's actually had to take these survivors to Walmart to pick up a tent and leave them on the beach with the tent. And I think I sent a picture of the tent. Yeah, the tents. So, you know, these Lahaina fire survivors, some of them are homeless, living in tents, living in their car. And it's absolutely, it's disgusting. I don't even know another word. It's absolutely disgusting. The Maui mayor, Mayor Bisson, the governor, everybody, they have totally, either one, completely failed the community, should not be reelected, because this is election season. And or they're complicit in some type of absolute crime against humanity, against the people. And I think that's what it is. We actually sent the governor a 17-page, when I say we, there's a number of us that I work with, and we've sent the governor about, it was 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks after the fire, 17-page document showing why this fire needs a third-party investigation because of all the anomalies, the astronomical anomalies of this fire. We never heard back from him, and, it's very much a land grab, in my opinion.
Well, that 17 pages and all those anomalies, that's what I want to go through next, because so many of our viewers are saying, what about this? What about this? What about all of these inconsistencies and problems? Mm-hmm. So, I want to pause here and address some of the comments that we're getting from our audience. And we'll just take a quick pause, and we'll be back to talk about all of those anomalies. But first, microplastics, forever chemicals, and other pollutants are now showing up throughout our entire food supply, water, air, household products, everything, because many of these particles are incredibly small. Supporting your body's natural detoxification process isn't always simple. That's why I use Masterpiece. I take it every day. Masterpiece combines all natural volcanic zeolite and sea minerals. It actually tastes like seawater when you put it under your tongue. Zeolite acts like a microscopic trap, and it binds to certain unwanted compounds so the body can eliminate them, while the sea minerals then help replenish essential nutrients and support energy, sleep, and overall wellness. When I first started taking this, the team said, hey, Clayton, you're going to have some of the best night's sleep you've had in a long time. And they're absolutely right. It's basically, it's essentially fighting bad nano with good nano inside of this. And I research anything before I share it with you. Masterpiece points to human clinical research, thousands of testimonials from customers around the world. It's also affordable. And using our special link, you can get Masterpiece for about $1 a day. We have it in our medicine cabinet. I take it on trips with me. You've got to give it a shot. 5 drops is what I've been told to do under my tongue, and it's become a regular part of my routine. So learn more at masterpiece.health/redacted, and especially if you've got the COVID shot, you're going to want to try this. Go read about it. Go to masterpiece.health/redacted right now, masterpiece.health/redacted. All right, we are back with author Michelle Melendez about this great land grab in Maui. 3 years later, it's hard to believe that it's been 3 years, and swept from the headlines. I mean, no discussion about this, but the rebuilding is not happening. And these people that live in those tents and those other areas, obviously, are they still paying property taxes on the properties that they own? What is going to happen to that land? A lot of people, of course, believe that you're going to start to see large hotels and resorts come in. That was the big concern immediately, that this sort of multi-generational town, not a wealthy town, like the people that live there, I mean, this was a lot of families lived multi-generations mm-hmm. in one house, that they're not like lavish mansions. We're not talking Oprah mansions here, beachfront property that have been there, but this is like prime real estate. So maybe you can talk about that piece of it.
You're absolutely right. I mean, there was a home. It was a few blocks from a friend of mine whose home, her home didn't just get destroyed, but 10 family members died in one home. We could talk about the death count. I mean, there's just so much. And it was a very quaint town. And now what's happening? They rebuilt the harbor. The harbor master's office got rebuilt. They rebuilt some of the docks that are going into the ocean. And they're telling all the people on the coast, you cannot rebuild. So they're actually telling them you can't rebuild on the coast. They're not going to give them permits. And then they're also telling them that the Maui County will buy their home, will buy their property. So it's not eminent domain, but Maui County is saying that they're going to buy the people's property, and they're not allowing the people on the coast to rebuild. One business has been allowed to rebuild on Front Street, which is where all the cute. So if you see the on the right hand side, you'll see the wall. That's the one business that has been allowed to rebuild on Front Street. This is 3 years later. And this is astronomically it's appalling.
I'm just shocked. There's people's like still living in tents on their land. The county is saying you can't rebuild. We're not giving you permits to rebuild. But we'll buy your land from you.
Yeah, these are the people that are on the coast, the most prime real estate on the coast. They're telling them they can't rebuild. And you know what? If it was me, I would just go and rebuild. I would say, you guys sue me because this is ridiculous. This is, you know, what part of the Constitution says you have the right to own property and the planning department can tell you what to do on it and has to give you a permit so you can build on your own property? That would be nowhere. So I would say to these people, go and rebuild.
If my house burns down, I'm going to rebuild my house. Like, what the county is going to come in and say now what? That this is too valuable. I mean, that's the undertone here, right? That this is just too valuable of land. But
they're saying it's because of climate change. They're saying it's because the water's rising. Let me tell you something. My family's been here since the 90s and in Kona, and the water hasn't risen. I mean, it's exact same as it was. And I know that people, you know, go, oh, climate change. But there has been weather manipulation since the first weather modification patent was in 1891, and then which was seeding the clouds to make it rain. They actually used that in Vietnam. And then the Weather Modification Act was in 1976. So you guys are not even accounting for that. Then you can go to World Climate Declaration. If you guys just put in World Climate Declaration in your URL, a page will come up with over 2,000 credentialed scientists around the world that have signed a declaration saying there's no climate emergency. Climate change happens every second of the day, but that's why they're saying you guys can't rebuild on the coast. They're saying the water level's rising. And it's...
Well, rebuild. Let me deal with it. If the water level rises for the next 400 years, it moves up a half an inch, let me deal with it. I'll put
That's
my house
exactly
on...
Right.
I'll do what they've done along the Gulf Coast. I'll put my house on some risers. Let me deal with it. But that's my choice as an American to rebuild on my property, not yours. And
Correct.
So then these people are like stuck in this limbo now.
That's
so
right.
The county wants to buy their land. What are they going to do with it? I can only imagine... some large resorts come in, of course, and consolidate. And then you have this, large resort town or community there, like you have in Oahu or whatever. These people then are still stuck on this property in this sort of temporary flux. They maybe have FEMA housing, or they have a tent, or maybe they've moved out and they're just waiting. Where are these people
now? Yeah, the tents are actually on the beach. They're not allowing them onto their property, onto their own property, even with a tent. Yes. So they're either in the FEMA or the state. The fish bowls, which cost $400,000 a piece, were from the state. The birdhouses are from FEMA, or they get a tent on the beach. And these people have been forgotten. And it's appalling. They struggle with the permitting process. And Ellie Cochran, again, state representative, she's saying, you guys, we are the permitting process, the government. Why aren't you giving them permits? So I actually have action for people. If you go to, you can go to standtogetherhawaii.com, and I give you five people to contact, and one of them, standtogetherhawaii.com, and you can click on action for Lahaina fire survivors. And I give you five people to contact: the mayor of Maui, the planning department, the utilities department of Maui, because they also have to get permits for utilities, the governor, and also there's one other guy, Mayor Bisson. So, we can, the number of people, that's why it's always in numbers. It's always in numbers, you guys. We need to do this, not just for Maui, but also for ourselves, because I am creating an affidavit around these fires. There's hundreds of fires around the nation, like every single day. They don't talk about how bad the fires are, and they're around the world. So I am creating an affidavit of truth to give to our congressmen to show them, hey, we are being attacked. Something is not right here. And I know they're calling it climate change, but they're not talking about, like we said earlier, the chemtrails that make the fire really, really hot. This is why the fires are burning so hot. If you want to put up paradise, you can see that these fires, they're very different. There's a module home. This is this module home in paradise of the picture that he'll bring up. All of the module homes are white ash, but the pine trees are still there. So it's like, how are the pine trees still standing up when all the module homes are white ash? Like, and also, where did the fire come from? This is paradise. My mother lives 20 minutes from here. I went up to that fire that Christmas and saw the anomalies there. Many of them, there were many anomalies that were there as well. I mean, houses turned to white ash, and then a white picket fence around a completely intact home. Trees all standing. It was just really bizarre. And that's the way the fires are burning now. Complete white ash, melting the glass, dissolving the engines, melting the rims. That's just not normal. And things aren't being discussed about the things that they're spraying on the trees and on the houses. And then also the smart meters. We can go into that. And there's a picture of a smart meter in Maui that's completely melted.
Well, they're going to start to install these smart meters on homes around the country. In fact, we just got word that in the state of Colorado, smart meters are coming to make sure you're not using too much water to water your lawn or these other issues, yet they're fine with the data centers and everything else using as much water and cooling as they need to, but you can't, you know, whatever. So smart meters. This is a major concern. Of course, we saw similarities. And then in the LA fires well, about 2 years ago in the LA wildfires, and multiple individuals talking about their smart meters, like the fire wasn't even near their home. Mm-hmm. And then the smart meters catching fire and causing the fire. Can you talk about what you noticed with these smart meters in Lahaina?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Well, you're absolutely right. There was actually a video that actually showed a smart meter caught on fire, and it was PG&E came and took off the smart meter really fast and left after the fire department had gotten there and put out the fire. So yeah, they're not telling people about the dangers of these smart meters. And that picture that you just showed of LA, you can see all the trees that are still up. And again, the houses are white ash. When you have white ash, that means really hot. Those should be black. It should be black. And there's actually a picture, I think, of the Oakland Hills that I sent you. It's in the first email that I sent you. And I think it's Oakland or Beverly Hills. Berkeley is where it is. And it shows a regular house. It's black. It's black soot. And then there's another Berkeley one, I think. But look at that car. That car is fully intact. The engine's fine. The rims are still on it. It's in the middle of the fire. And you see things that some things are not fully burned. They're black. You see the trees in the back. They're all black. And so it's like, this was a normal fire. This was an Oakland fire. And then I think you can show the Berkeley. I think it says Berkeley. And that one shows a black. It shows the houses are black. They're smoldering black. That's another car. That was Oakland Hills. Another one that you still have the engine. You still have the rims. Those were fires in the 80s and 90s. And now our fires are completely different. They completely melt the cars and leave the trees, just like that one, completely. Engine block is gone. This isn't normal. And again, I am creating an affidavit of truth that we can give to our congressmen. We need numbers. You can go to standtogetherhawaii.com and check. It's not there yet, but it will be. So if you join that email list, you'll get it. I'll send it to you.
Also, we have, you know, when you look at what happened with Katrina and these other quote unquote natural disasters, you saw what happened in North Carolina, and we've covered the weather modification and the targeting of those areas, obviously, for the vast mineral resources that sit under those areas. Land grabs, of course, happening there as well to get all these minerals. But Katrina, yeah. Which interesting, this didn't get a lot of coverage. We covered it here on the show a few years ago. Most people don't realize that, you know, people were also told, basically, you're not coming back to this area. You're not coming back to this waterfront area. And of course, now it's been turned into like Casino Row and shopping and where there used to be homes prior to Hurricane Katrina. Do you worry that that's what's about to happen here?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, you have to understand what Lahaina was. Lahaina was the capital of the Hawaii Islands when King Kamehameha III had taken over. And Lahaina was beautiful. It had natural springs. There's actually natural springs there that they covered over. I mean, they completely changed. When the resorts came in, they refunneled a lot of the water to the resort. So it's completely changed. And I'd love to show you, since we're talking about the weather, go to August 7th, because you're going to see a picture, a satellite image of the day before the Maui fire, the Lahaina fire, August 7th, these linear clouds that all were coming to the Hawaii Islands, but not going past. This is impossible. Like all these linear clouds coming to the Hawaii Islands, and it's a clear sky afterwards. So my friend of mine who works for national security actually flew over Maui that day, and she saw these clouds. She said it was square cloud, blue sky. And there's a HAARP dome that lives in the Honolulu Harbor. And what it can do is it heats up the ionosphere and then it turns off. It heats up and turns turns off. We believe something like that was creating some type of frequency, of higher frequency on the Hawaii Islands. This is August 8th. You guys, this was when the fire was the hottest. The fire was completely destroying Lahaina, and Lahaina is completely covered by this black mark. This was a satellite image. Now, sometimes these black marks happen, but it just so happened to be the exact day and time when Lahaina was burning down. We can't see what's going on. That's Maui right there on the upper right. And again, the clouds were still linear clouds going to the Hawaii Islands and not going past. This is something that people need to make a stink about and talk and send an affidavit to our Congress people and say, we know this is happening and it needs to be investigated.
Oh, unbelievable. All right, we're going to pause, and I want to go through that morning, and I want to go through what we know from what the official word is, electrical, you know, down power lines, all of those things, and of course the connections to Las Vegas and in all of the lies that were told about that day. 3 years later, the Maui wildfires and people still not back in their homes as the great land grab continues. Michelle, stay there. We're going to pause for a second. But first, the stock market has been on an incredible run. I bet if you're like a lot of folks watching today, there's a little voice in the back of your mind saying, hey, can this really keep going? How much longer will it last? The truth is, nobody knows when the next downturn is going to happen. That's why we're big believers in owning precious metals to protect yourselves against, you know, market manipulation, moving up and down, all of these things. And when these cycles change, they change fast. That's why smart investors don't wait until the headlines turn negative. They actually make their moves while the market is still strong, looking for ways to protect what they've earned. Price targets for gold over $7,000 an ounce I've seen in the past few days. So this isn't about money going up or down. This is about protecting your family more than anything else. As you just heard Michelle talking about, you never know. I mean, the government is not on your side. So making sure that you've got food supplies in your house, making sure that you have actual things that you can trade when the US dollar collapses, which it is. And one option is for you to have a gold IRA. And from our friends at Lear Capital, we've worked with them for many, many years. It's the IRA that we have in our own family. We have one, Natalie has one, and our kids have one. So our children have IRAs and with precious metals in them. Lets you add physical gold or silver to your retirement savings, giving you another way to diversify and prepare for whatever comes next. So could be the time to start thinking about protection, not just profits. So Lear Capital is a company that Natalie and I trust with more than $3 billion in transactions. They are the best in the business. I strongly urge you to give Lear 10 minutes on the phone totally free. Just call them. 1-800-613-3557. Just call them. And while you're on the phone with them, just ask them how you can qualify for up to $20,000 in bonus gold or silver. Don't keep putting this off. Get free information today. Call them. 800-613-3557. That's 800-613-3557, or go to LearRedacted.com. All right, we're back with Michelle talking about the three-year anniversary of the tragedy of the Maui wildfires today. And so maybe we can take us back to that morning or overnight when this was all unfolding. And even in those early hours, like there was already, or maybe even a few hours before the fires, because maybe that's where we should start. There were some major inconsistencies before the fires started. You talked about the clouds, of course, and the weather, but just the human being element of this and the emergency response and the preparedness piece was very odd in the hours preceding it. Can you talk about that?
Oh, absolutely. First, the day before, there was a haze over Maui. There was the Maui emergency manager was off island. He was on Oahu for some type of event. The Maui fire chief was off island, never contacted by the fire department. He was contacted by a resident. And the Maui, of course, the Maui mayor, or not mayor, mayor, Maui police chief, he actually was in state, and they had to change a law 6 months prior to him being hired on, because there was a law that you had to live on Maui for 1 year in order to apply and be a Maui police chief. But they changed that to 30 days. So they changed from a year to 30 days and to allow this special man, John Pelletier, who left a lot of questions unanswered at the Mandalay Bay shooting. And now he left a lot of unanswered questions with the Maui fire, like why did he block the road? roads. He said, you know, at first he denied it. He blocked the roads on Front Street. Everybody was being funneled into Front Street, and then they blocked the roads. People were jumping out of their cars, getting into the water, and he denied it. But there was so many people giving testimony. It's like they love to just ignore testimony until there's so many people you can't ignore it. And then he finally said, well, we had to block the roads because of the telephone poles. And I actually, a friend of mine who survived the fire, she actually got in her car. She had to run down her road. The fire was coming. Her key broke in her car, and she got out of her car, ran down the road, actually found her daughter who was coming home, jumped in her car. They were actually, there was a policeman blocking it. She goes, go around the policeman because the fire is coming. And she went around the policeman. There was no telephone poles. She had it was a free flowing road. And she even came back to her house the next day, and that road was not blocked by a telephone pole. So he was saying that the telephone poles were the reason he blocked the road, but that was not the case at all. We can keep going. The governor suspended 22 laws. He said, oh, it's homelessness. There's homeless. It's a homeless emergency. So he did an emergency proclamation, suspended 22 laws. Homeless has not changed. It's actually gotten worse in some areas. So even though we still have not only an emergency proclamation for homelessness, we still have the wildfire emergency. Hawaii is under over 100 emergency proclamations. The Hawaii governor has suspended numerous hundreds of laws without legislation, and he continues to do it. He actually continues to suspend laws, create emergency proclamations when there's no emergency. We have an emergency proclamation right now because there's a sea anemone in the ocean, and it's supposedly destroying coral, but nobody's dying, nobody's home's getting destroyed, and this governor keeps doing this. He's basically a dictator. But the what's happened with the fire is the death toll. That's what I wanted to talk about next, because the death toll went from 115, dropped to 97, and then it ended up at 102 with zero missing. There were people in the water. And Elliot Cochran said that if you were in the water and you held on to anything, it would be like a sail, and you would be gone. And I do have to say that a friend of mine from Molokai, Lanai, the island of Lanai, is right directly in front of Maui. It's right directly in front of Lahaina. If anything goes in the water in Lahaina, it's going to end up on the island of Lanai before it goes out to sea. And there, my friend said that that there were bodies that were found in Lanai. And this, again, is third-party information, but that was never on the news. No, you know, they found everybody. That's just impossible. It's impossible. And then the governor said the reason why the death toll went down was because they were accidentally counting DNA twice. Well, let me tell you guys something about the recovery of human remains. They were allowing recruits, people who had zero experience picking up human remains, to pick up human remains. And they were putting remains, more than one person, into one baggie. That's what they were doing. So were they trying to hide the death count number? I think so. I absolutely think so.
Oh, it's awful. That morning, officials now say, I guess it was a downed Hawaiian Electric power line that ignited the whole thing that morning. But does that explanation account for everything witnesses saw later in the afternoon? No. Do you buy that story at all?
Not at all. I've heard many people say there was fireballs in the air. Not only that, but there was a fire. There was two fires, one in Lanai, another one on Maui, in another location, and then also here on Big Island. I live on Big Island. We're 60 miles from Maui, and there was a small fire that was here that was put out pretty quickly. But absolutely not. I do not believe that the electric, because that's a scapegoat. That is an absolute scapegoat, and I don't believe that at all. Also, the wind. Let me tell you something. Lahaina sits right under the mountain, so she doesn't get a lot of wind. But boy, she got wind, and this fire was so smart. It went against the wind. It jumped over a construction site with exposed 2x4s to melt all the cars in the parking lot, but leave all the trees, leave all the trees. And it's, this fire was, yeah, it was very smart fire to be able to do that. This was not normal. It was not a normal fire.
Where were Maui's emergency sirens that morning and overnight? As even people were being trapped by flames, like what's going on with the sirens to warn other people or help people get out?
Thank you for that. Yeah, this was we have the best warning system in the world. And the Maui Emergency Management Director said he did not turn on the fires because he was afraid that people would run into the fire because the sirens are for tsunamis. But if you look on the website, it doesn't say that. It says for disaster, for fire, for tsunamis, and for basically any disaster. Also, the Maui Management Director beat out 40 other applicants, and he had zero emergency management experience, zero. And he beat out so many. And then not one person was reprimanded. Not one person was suspended. Not one person was fired. The water was being diverted from Lahaina to a taro, which is a potato, to a potato farmer down way from Lahaina. And they said they needed the potato farmer's permission to get the water to be brought back to Lahaina in order for the fire. But by the time they got that, it was too late. It was gone. Lahaina was gone. This guy was actually saving his home with the water, and they turned it off. The water just turned off.
Well, I was going to ask you about this water pressure. That was the other thing. Like, what happened to who turned it off? And of course, you know, according to I don't know if we have an official report really, but mm-hmm. The idea is there was communications failures. There was apparently failures at every level, at every possible stage. There were failures from the emergency response to the road closures, trapping people, to the water pressure that wouldn't let people put fires out. It seems very coordinated.
100%. I think that there was a lot of, I really feel that this was planned for a very long time. I think these people are murderers. I think they're complicit. And I think at some point, you know, whether it's in this life or the next, they will be held accountable for what they did. Because it's astronomical. And then not only that, but the sign-in sheet, which you guys had on your show, was redacted. There was so many names. In fact, the person who did a FOIA request for the sign-in sheet, it took forever for him to get the sign-in sheet. And then when he got it, a bunch of names were redacted. Some people signed in but didn't sign out. You're supposed to sign in and sign out so they know exactly who's there. The Maui police chief
sign in for what? I'm sorry.
Oh, this was the Maui Emergency Management Center. So Maui Emergency Management Center, all the people, the fire department, the police are supposed to be at this center so that everybody can talk to each other and they can get decisions made really quickly. There were people that signed in, didn't sign out. The Maui police chief decided he didn't want to go. So he actually set up his own emergency management center at the police station and decided he wasn't going to go to the main hub. So many things. The guy who was in charge of the water and the person who the Maui Emergency Management Director, they both were moved to different jobs. Okay, you guys, you didn't do a great job. We're going to move you over here. But then 5 months later, they moved them back. And then they ended up like leaving their job because they of personal reasons. One was health reasons, obviously, I'm sure. And one was personal reasons that he wanted to spend more time with his family. But they weren't fired. They weren't reprimanded at all in any way. Nobody was. And it's absolutely disgusting.
Do we know what happened to the water supply for the firefighters? Do we have any accounting of where the water went when they went to turn on the spigots to put the fires out? Just gone?
Yeah, it was being diverted to a farmer. It was being diverted to water his field, and they needed his permission. That is actually, I actually have the report for that talks about it. But they actually said that they needed his permission to get it to be put back to the water to be brought back to Lahaina, and they got it, but it was too late. By the time they reverted the water back, it was too late. And the other thing I want to share about the water in Maui, there was a time when the news actually after the fire said that that people couldn't drink the water because it was toluene in the water. And they were saying that toluene, and there's a, I have a picture of a water truck in Maui that was being brought for the people, but that toluene, they were saying, oh, toluene is, there it is. The toluene is in glue and in markers. But the number one thing toluene is used for is dynamite. So why in the world is toluene in the water in Maui? You know, so it's.
That sounds like something out of a Batman story where the Joker's poisoning a water supply only to activate it later in order to carry out large explosions or fires or make everything more incendiary. It's crazy. So the water supply diverted to a farmer. Do we know any, are there any like nefarious connections with this farmer and ahead of time, like why water from the city of this area for firefighters would have been diverted to him? There's only one tube sending it over to Farmer John?
It sounds ridiculous. It is ridiculous. I don't know. I'm not sure. I just know that he's a taro farmer that was down way from Lahaina, and they decided just to give him the water and not bring it back to Lahaina until Lahaina was pretty much gone. And these people were killed. It's very sad.
I want to talk about the death count in a second. We'll come back to that. And kind of, there was a lot of anomalies and inconsistencies with the death numbers. I don't even know that we have a full accounting of that today, but maybe we do. I'll get your updates on that in a second. We're going to pause here and we'll be right back with Michelle Melendez here on the show. We'll get back to Michelle in a minute. But first, I want to share something with you. You've heard us report that the dollar is losing value daily. Our national debt is out of control. And you can bet no one in Washington or Wall Street is worrying about your finances or how you can afford retirement. That's why you and only you need to become financially independent. I say financial education is the most important thing that you can do. It's the only way to break free from the system. Now, if you're wondering how, there is a method that's been proven time and time again. Real estate has created more millionaires than any other investment type in history, going back to the Roman Empire. And it's exactly how Natalie and I broke free as well. We were able to do this because we weren't dependent on a boss, the stock market, or whatever nonsense Washington triggered at the time. And you can do the very same thing. I know you're thinking, no, I can't. Yes, you can. If an idiot like me can do it, you can do it. Now, your path will probably look different than ours, and figuring out your next steps can be a little tricky, especially if you're just getting started. So what we did, we built a 60-second quiz. That's it, 60 seconds. And it'll show you exactly where you stand as an investor. It gives you a simple, clear next step for moving forward. So stop wishing that you had like a portfolio full of performing assets. Take action. Start building one today. The government is not coming to help you. You need assets in your life to protect your family. So right now, go to redacted.inc/quiz. Okay, it's redacted.inc/quiz. It's right there on the screen. And take it right now while you're continuing to watch the show. Once again, redacted.inc/quiz. All right, we are back with Michelle to talk about the 3-year anniversary of this tragedy. I hate calling it an anniversary because it sounds celebratory to what happened to that island and the tragedy there. But of course, one of the big things immediately was getting reports of all of these deaths. And it seemed like there was a lot of missing, the numbers of missing children, all of it. So the official death toll, I think, is what they say, tell us it's 102. Is that the official?
That's right. That's the official. It went from 115 down to 97. Then it ended up at 102 with 3 children having died. That's just impossible. I actually asked of the fire chief. I was interviewing a 33-year fire captain from the mainland. And I said, is that normal for a death count to drop like that? And he said, Michelle, nothing about this fire is normal. You know, the children actually have I sent you the Department of Education's report on the children being, how many children were there in Lahaina School District. 3,001 were enrolled sold in the Lahaina School District prior to the fire. Then after the fire, 538 re-enrolled, 438 enrolled in private school, and 2,025 children did not re-enroll 3 weeks after the fire. So what happened to them? There's a couple things. Either the education department was completely lying about the numbers to begin with, you know, because they do get money for children. I don't know if that's true or not. I do know that that has happened in some other states, but I don't know if that's true here. Or something happened. You know, did 2,000 children move off island with their family to 3 weeks after the fire? That's I really highly doubt that. Then a friend of mine, his name is Paul Preston. He used to be a principal at a school. He called the Hawaii Education Department 2 times, and he asked, has any school asked for the Q forms? The Q form is a report that follows the child throughout their entire academic career. And he said, has any school requested the Q forms for those 2,025 children that did not re-enroll in the Lahaina Luna School District? And they said no. Both times he called 3 and 4 weeks after the fire, and no school had requested those Q forms. So I'm not sure. I have heard of school buses coming in. Everything in my book, it can be verified. I didn't want to put anything that I absolutely could not verify. So I'm not sure if that's true or not, possibly, but I'm not sure.
So 2,000 kids that just unaccounted for, did they move off? They didn't show back up at school, move other parts of the island? That seems like a huge question for the government to answer, the governor to answer, perhaps. Has the governor's office given any kind of indications about where these kids went?
No, absolutely not. In fact, you know, the school was let out that day. So the actual governor said to his team, we're expecting there to be a lot of children in the fire. So just prepare yourselves. He actually told them that. He actually told the first reporter that they're expecting a lot of children. There was only 3. One child was found completely recognizable. You guys, let's go into some of the... The mother said she believes that God left her child that way, holding his dog, both of them completely recognizable. And she said that she believed God left him that way so she would recognize him. Oh. That's not how things die. So we can go into the cat. The cat, this was a first responder that went in and videotaped this cat. This cat was standing up, and that's the toad. There's the cat. The cat was standing up, balanced. This cat is dead, you guys. This is a dead cat, completely charred. The tail, the ears, and it's balanced standing up. I think that black stuff, I think it's organs or something, because these animals that are found like this, you can show the toad. My friend found the toad in the Lahaina burn zone. He brought it back to Big Island, and we recorded it. And this is something I held. And the organs are gone. Everything is dried. You can hold it in your hands. That's not how things burn, everybody. Everybody knows that. It's not how things burn. The dog, you can show the dog. You can still see the nose, the hair, the ears, his paw pads. I mean, that's impossible. That's not how things burn. And then there's the dog. And this is a complete, he was running. Look at his feet. He was running. He was in the middle of the road. And that's another thing. The firefighter told me animals hide under cars, under buildings. They're not in the road. This dog was running in the middle of the road. I think something hit him really quick. I don't know what it was. Then there's the body, just a warning. There's a body. You can see the corn rolls, which is, this was all over social media. How in the world do you have, can you see a person's hair design after a fire? That's not normal. The only thing, look at the feet. The feet on that picture, that's the only thing that's really gone. So something was up with the ground. Something was up with the ground. And I wish there was a video, and I wish I had recorded it, of the fire that they were showing a fire on the ground in Lahaina. And the fire was moving on the ground. It was like it was moving out and in. And I wish I had recorded that. But something was up with the ground.
Jeez, that's so bizarre. Yeah, I mean, you could see the cornrows in the person's hair. Like, what hair would survive? I mean, I get near the grill when I'm cooking steaks and I'm going to lose my eyebrows. Like, really? Okay.
And I think it's because we have the cars with the engine blocks dissolved out. The rims are melted. The house is turned to white ash. The trees are still standing. And people are like, why is that? We have a microwave. There's a microwave laser that uses a titanium sapphire. And when you have microwave, when you put something in the microwave, that like a chicken breast, the organic material doesn't catch fire. The water heats up on the inside. So that's why we think it was some type of a microwave frequency. Also, the many blue things that did not burn. The ticket's my favorite. This is from Eric West, real estate, Maui real estate. How in the world? He grabbed, all he saw was the tip of the ticket. This is a submarine ride. And he pulled it right out of the ash. He shook it off because the white ash was dripping off of this blue paper ticket. And it's in the middle of the white ash, which is, that means the heat was really hot. So how does this not burn? Then you have the t-shirts. If you pull up the t-shirts he found, I think it was 6 or 9 of these cotton t-shirts in a t-shirt store. He raffled them off for the survivors. Not one hole, not one singe marks. That's impossible. And then you also have the Tommy Bahama blue umbrellas that survived. And, right next to the complete building that's completely gone, destroyed, but you have maybe one umbrella, not all of them, all of them. And that's just not normal. So again, there is a patent, and I think I sent you the patent for the microwave plasma. Oh, this one is a friend of mine. She sent this to me, and this was her stove. She went back to her house. The glass is melted. You see the glass melted on the outside. The rims are warped. The beautiful blue color, royal blue, she just must have cleaned it right before the fire, is still intact. How is that possible? And the reason is I believe from my research is that the microwave laser uses a titanium sapphire. This is the one. It uses a titanium sapphire. What color is sapphire? Blue. So sapphire, the blue does not absorb the frequency, the power of the laser. It actually repels it. We believe that's why blue things didn't burn. Also, a microwave will not destroy organic material. This is why we believe that bodies are still there, recognizable. The trees didn't burn because they're organic, or they burned on the inside. In fact, the arborist, Robert Bram, said that he found that these fires, the trees that should not burn because they have more water content, they're the ones that burned. And they burned where? From the inside. This is why we have this was on the Maui, I think, Cron Channel 3 news for Maui months, and now it's completely gone. Burning on the inside, that's not how trees burn unless they're hit by lightning. That's the only way this will happen. Sonoma County, same thing. There's a picture of a tree there that I sent you. Burning on the inside, that is not normal. And it's burning the water. The water content is what is burning and not the actual organic material. And then then you got to show him the tree from L.A. The tree from L.A., how in the world do you get a hole in the middle of a tree, but the whole bark on the outside is still there? Something hit it. Something, and then you have white ash on the other side, which means really hot. So something hit this tree, but the organic material didn't burn. This is an attack on the American people. And we need to step up and we need to tell our congressmen, we know something's not right. Something's not pono here, you guys. And pono means not right. And we need to let them know that. So again, Stand Together Hawaii, I'm creating an affidavit. The Sonoma people, you guys are not alone. This is not just happening in Maui. This is coming for all of us. And what's also coming It's coming through our general plans. It's coming through our general plan. So standtogetherhawaii.com. Just join the email list. I will send you the affidavit once I get it done, and then send it to your congressman. And the more of us that make a stink about this, I think the better, because we've got to expose this. That's our only hope.
Michelle, what are the long-term health consequences, do you think, for the people who were exposed to the smoke, the ash, toxic debris, God knows what was on the ground, as you pointed out? In the air, are residents receiving any kind of testing, medical care? Have they been tested? Do we know?
No, not that I know of, no. After the fire, I actually sent a lot of detox, activated charcoal and different things like that to support them because that is very true. I mean, the number one cause of death of firefighters is cancer because of the toxins that they go into in these into these areas. They state that that's why the dust screen was put up, which we can talk about in a second. But yeah, I'm not sure. I just know that what's happening in the Lahaina fire survivor camps is not normal. There have been a ton of suicides, not mentioned. There have been deaths, not mentioned, in the fire camps, and the media is not covering it. So it's really sad.
So after 3 years of investigations, lawsuits, government reports, shoddy government reports, can you name the people, maybe the few people or institutions that you believe bear the greatest responsibility?
The governor, for one, the first words out of the Hawaii governor's mouth after Lahaina was destroyed, people were had died, is he said, "I'm looking for ways for the state to acquire the land for workforce housing." That was the first thing words out of his mouth to his constituents to support the Lahaina fire survivors. That is disgusting. So I say he is number one. The Maui mayor is number two because he has absolutely failed the people of Lahaina, especially now, 3 years later, when you can show the picture again, the 3 year picture. There's 236 buildings have been rebuilt. 300. This is 3 years. This is 3 years later, and they're still not. This one. There's a YouTuber who has a t he's ton of subscribers, and he says, "Oh yay, we have one business in Lahaina being rebuilt on Front Street after 3 years. Things are going so well." I'm like, "Who do
What?
you work for? Who
Yeah.
do you work for?" This
Who's
is
paying
like
you?
exactly 3 years later, and you have one business in Lahaina on the Front Street that's being rebuilt, and hundreds of st almost 200 businesses still in process trying to get a permit. Again, after Hurricane Iniki on Kauai, they had emergency permits that they gave to people so they could rebuild right away. Almost all the houses were re rebuilt within a year, and now 3 years later, people are still waiting for permits. It's absolutely disgusting. And the last thing I want to share too, if we have time, is about the dust screen. I don't know where your time
Sure,
is.
sure.
The dust screen. You put up the dust screen. This was 12 feet high around the entire perimeter of Lahaina, 5 miles long, and the right side. You see all those trees and all the leaves? That's the burn zone. So tell me, how is that possible? The burn zone, those should be black sticks. This was put up 10 days after the fire. It was actually approved to be put up before the funding was approved. This is $2.3 million, and they put this up before they approved the funding. Okay, nothing in Hawaii happens that fast. You're lucky if people show up on time, but that was put up so fast. Then they actually had people's security guards stationed at the entrances of Lahaina. That's the lockdown that was put in place for 15 months. For 15 months, they paid the security guards $45 an hour to sit there and to tell people. The people who came in were, they had to have a placard that they lived in Lahaina. You couldn't just go in, and they were told no pictures and no video. So they're telling people you cannot take pictures or video of Lahaina. They did that for 15 months. They sat there. So you tell me that they're
Yeah,
not
they couldn't
hiding
get people.
something.
Yeah, they couldn't get people permits for their houses. They couldn't help and assist with the housing, but they sure could pay security guards to keep people out to not film anything. And by the way, we were live on that particular day. We had a journalist friend of ours who was there on the ground, and he was live on our show being turned away by these security guards, and showing us this dust fence that was there as well, blocking out any kind of view that you could get of what had happened. So and also drone restriction, I think, as well. So not just on the
That's right.
ground, but airspace restriction. No, you weren't allowed to fly drones overhead as well.
That's right. FFA actually put in a restriction for that as well. Media wasn't allowed in for 30 days. Homeowners weren't allowed back to their home for 90 days. And in fact, there were people that were bringing in supplies that were being blocked off and that was being shut down. There was actually a guy that showed a whole truckload of food that was sitting and not being dispersed to the people. And he goes, he was telling people where it's at. He goes, you guys, this is right here. Go and get it, because nobody was dispersing it. So, so many questions. And you guys, this, and I just want to say, after Lahaina started, the story started to die, that's when I wrote The Death of Freedom, because The Death of Freedom, what happened to America, forward is by G. Edward Griffin, who wrote The Creature from Jekyll Island. He was kind enough to do the forward for me. This was number one new release on Amazon. This actually explains how this country was taken over. This country has been taken over since after the Civil War. Mm-hmm. It actually happened with the 14th Amendment, 14th, 16th, and 17th Amendments actually destroyed this country. And we used to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, unalienable rights under God, not the government. And the 14th Amendment turned our unalienable rights under God into privileges and immunities. The 16th Amendment expanded the government with the income taxes, which our founding fathers did not want. They did not want that. The tax was supposed to only be by the percentage of the population. And then the 17th Amendment, it changed and allowed people to elect their senators to go to Congress. Senators were supposed to be elected by the state's legislative body, because they were supposed to go to Congress to represent the state. Now the senators go to Congress to represent their political party, not the state, their political party. And that those are what and then obviously the Patriot Act is what then destroyed the freedom. First, I mean, there's so many things we can go into that, but that is The Death of Freedom, and it died on October 26th, 2001, with the Patriot Act. But there was a ton of things that led up to that. You'll also see so many things, CIA and FBI mind control, as well as non-disclosed experiments on the American people. And people need to know how many experiments have been done on the American people that is just disgusting. And this is part of that.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And it's continuing right now, right in front of us. Michelle, thank you so much for this. Thank you for your work, your tireless work on this and trying to get the message out about this. The survivors need your help, and we still need answers 3 years later. Michelle Melendez, thank you so much. Can we put her book back up on the screen there, The Great Land Grab, The Great Maui Land Grab, as well? There it is, Great Maui Land Grab. You can grab it and read all about it. Thank you so much, Michelle. Great to have you here on the show.
Mahalo so much again for having me, Clayton.
Thank you. And thanks to all of you for being a part of our show. We really appreciate it. Thanks for dialing us up on this day. We really appreciate it on this Thursday. We should mention we have a daily newsletter. We'd love for you to subscribe to the daily newsletter. It's totally free. All you need to do is just go over to redacted.inc, put in your email address. You will receive that welcome email from me. You just need to confirm it. Hundreds of thousands of you receive the newsletter every day, so thank you so much for subscribing. We try to cover four or five of the big stories of the day that the media does not want you to know about. Like this morning, we talked all about Cuba and the coming invasion. The CIA, of course, there in earnest, and that is what the United States State Department and the U.S. government is focused on next. How can we destabilize and take over Cuba? Because, hey, all of Trump's friends would love all of that land, that beachfront land, right there in Cuba. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? Thank you, everyone. Thank you for subscribing, being a part of our show here at Redacted. Much love to you, and we will see you real soon.